Island Records turns 50 this year. That's the label that not only brought reggae from Jamaica to the world, but British folk rockers from the 60s and 70s, and a lot of influential pop artists. A new book, The Story of Island Records, is filled with essays and memorable album artwork. Chris Blackwell, the founder of Island Records, wrote the preface. He's been in the States for a book signing and joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And, you know, before we launch into the interview, I'm going to go to your website, 50th anniversary website called island50.com, and there's an audio player that gives people an idea of the astonishing range of artists. You can get it, the heart of the sea now. You can get it if you really want. Jimmy Cliff.
You can get it if you really want.
Yeah. You know this one?
I'm trying to remember it. Oh, yes, of course, yes. Wordy Rapping Hood, isn't it?
Yep, Tom Tom Club.
That's right.
Exactly.
Tom Tom Club, Chris and Tina Franz, who were members of Talking Heads, mm-hmm. and they bought an apartment in the Bahamas where I lived and had a recording studio. And they started this band and recorded that record in the studio in Nassau. Right.
This sure became a big hit for you, didn't it?
Huge hit. Yeah. Huge hit.
By Free, we should explain. Well, if there's one artist from Island Records who needs no introduction, but I want you to give him one anyway.
Bob Marley.
Yeah.
I met him in 1973, and we started to work very closely together.
This extraordinary list. First artist you signed was?
The first artist I signed was a group called Lance Haywood. They were a jazz quartet who were playing at the hotel where I was teaching water skiing.
The Half Moon?
Half Moon, that's right. You know, I love music and I love jazz, and this was a kind of jazz combo. We recorded the record, and I was elated. I just loved the feeling of being part of music.
Yeah. Let's hear a bit of the first really great hit. This is from Millie.
Millie was a Jamaican girl. She was only 15 when we recorded this, and people really liked the Jamaican records. They sounded very different. They sounded very odd, and people really liked it, but they loved Millie.
What made you decide to have Island branch out from reggae?
It happened basically after Millie, because suddenly, you know, from obscurity, I was now, you know, a producer and manager of a hit artist. And when that happens, you know, people call you, and somebody called me and said, you know, you should go to Birmingham and see some bands, because there are a lot of bands in Birmingham. So I went up there, and they took me to a club, and this club was like on about the third floor. And walking up the stairs, I heard this voice, which sounded just unbelievable, you know, and this pounding kind of blues music. I went in, and again, he was 15 at the time, Steve Winwood. And I talked with them and signed them right away. Nobody had ever seen or heard anybody quite like him in England, because he was a multi-instrumentalist. He was a brilliant guitar player, a keyboard player, especially Hammond organ, and had an amazing voice. And so when I signed him, other rock acts then started to come to Ireland.
You heard about an Irish band playing at a pub in London?
Yes. I walked in. I didn't love the music that much, quite honestly, because it was a little rinky-dink to me, because I love bass and drum. But I loved them. There was a passion. There was something about them I really, really admired.
We should explain we're talking about U2.
U2, that's it.
So you didn't like the music necessarily, but you liked them.
I believed in them.
I bet you like what they've done for you.
Oh, I sure do. Of course I do.
What do you hear that maybe other people miss? What makes a hit?
Well, frankly, we didn't have that many hits. We've had a lot of great artists. But if you look at Motown and you look at Ireland, Motown probably had 50 times as many single hits as we did. So I was never really a record guy in that kind of a sense. I think my area is more artist development. And to me, the records are the milestones in the artist's career. You don't want to have a hit and have somebody destroyed, you know, because of the hit. I think if you can go slowly, just let it grow gently. And I'd say to people, if you love what you're doing, what's the hurry?
Yeah. Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens was another story. Cat Stevens, a friend of mine, wanted me to meet because he knew Cat Stevens, and Cat Stevens had a few hits. He'd had about 3 hits on Decca Records. He came into my house with his guitar, unpacked it, so, you know, sat down, played a song. It was good. I can't remember what it was called, but it was nice. Mm-hmm. And then he played me another one, and that was nice too. And then he played me a third one, and then I was blown away by that song, and that was called Father and Son.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now.
I asked him what kind of deal he had with Decca, and he told me, and I said, well, I'm sure I can match that. In fact, I can improve on that. He said, well, that's fine, but then how do I get off Decca? So I came up with this scheme. I told him, I said, well, listen, and this is the first time I met him, so this all happened, you know, almost in the length of time I'm telling you. So I said, well, you know, what you should do is you should go and see your A&R man at Decca, but sort of rustle up your hair a little bit, go in and look very kind of passionate and everything, and go in and tell him that you're really excited about your new record. You're desperate to do, but you want to do it with the London Philharmonic Orchestra and Chorus. And I said, I think they might give you a release.
But muss up the hair so you look daft,
whack,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, right, okay, yeah.
So he did that, and he got free, and then we made the record, which was just him and a guitar, basically.
This might be the most impertinent question I've ever asked anyone. Was your mother pussy galore?
That's a good question. I love that one. I believe it is written that she was.
we have to explain. Pussy galore was an honored character,
yeah,
in Ian Fleming's novels, James, yeah, Bond, and Honor Blackman portrayed pussy galore in the movie. And
that's
so,
right.
But it's not. There's a lot of historical foundation for the fact that your mother was the inspiration.
Yes, that's true. No, my mother was very much in love with Ian Fleming. She was very adventurous, and so was he. And they'd.
We can say they were a couple, can't we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was she as good at karate as Pussy Galore
No.
was? Or, oh, all right.
Isn't it customary to grant the condemned man his last request?
You've asked for this.
You sold Ireland to A&M.
I sold Ireland to, it was PolyGram,
yeah,
and then it's now part of Universal.
You still keep your hand in the music world, though?
I do, because I still look after Bob Marley Publishing,
mm-hmm,
and also sort of act as an unofficial advisor for them.
You know, since it is the 50th birthday of Ireland Records, and we're sitting here with you, Mr. Blackwell, you're the one that we want to ask, what music would you like to go out on?
Well, I'd like to go on as one of my favorite songs. It's a Bob Marley song. It's called So Much Trouble in the World. I love that song.
Well, I think we can promise. Here it is. Chris Blackwell, the founder of Island Records. Mr. Blackwell, thanks so much.
Thank you.
More of our conversation with Chris Blackwell is at our website, nprmusic.org.